Jesus House, in pursuit of God, discovering purpose, maximizing potential, impacting lives. This message is being brought to you from Jesus House, London. God bless you.
Well, which is our speaker this morning. We're going to have a video introduction, and then she's going to speak into the base here. She's going to be speaking into the hub at Greenwich. Go and give a shout out to those who are at the hub. Pastor Joseph and Pastor Kenya and the rest of the hub family at Greenwich. And she's going to be speaking into our online family as well. Go and give a shout out to the online family. Hallelujah. So right after the video introduction, please let's give her. She's done the Uncommon Woman stuff. They really welcomed her and made her feel warm. As they would say in Africa, don't fall my hand. Yeah, you know what that means is that don't make a fool of me and embarrass me. Yeah, so when she comes up, let's show her that the Jesus House welcome is even warmer, more heartfelt than the Uncommon Woman welcome. Amen? You understand that? Yeah. I know some of the ladies said, oh. So after the video introduction, let's make Pastor Stephanie welcome. After the video introduction.
Stephanie Ike Okafor is a dynamic leader who is reshaping the way that faith intersects with today's culture. With her unique ability to connect with diverse audiences through controversial and sometimes comedic delivery, Stephanie is a renowned author, pastor, and talk show host. Her teachings on audacious faith, renewed hope, and God's unconditional love have impacted lives globally, inspiring transformation on a profound level. Stephanie's journey in spreading the gospel began at the age of 9, sparked by a divine encounter that reshaped her understanding of God. As the executive pastor of the Potter's House at 1 LA in Los Angeles, California, under the leadership of Pastors Toure Roberts and Sarah Jakes Roberts, she continues to ignite a passion for God across various platforms. Her debut book, Moving Forward, Biblical Teachings for Walking in Purpose, published in 2015, offers a framework for breaking free from stagnancy using biblical truths with her sophomore book, currently in progress. Stephanie is the co-host and executive producer of the digital talk show and podcast series, The Same Room. Through unconventional conversations, this game-changing platform challenges religious norms and presents the truth of Jesus Christ in a fresh and relatable way. Ladies, let's give a warm, Uncommon Woman conference welcome to Stephanie Ike Okafor.
Thank you. Thank you. It's such a blessing to be with you all. Like, this is truly family now. And can we just glorify Jesus in the house? Amen, 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 amen. You may be seated. I thank you. You guys have some incredible pastors. Just in the short time that I've gotten to meet, talk, and getting to know you both, I mean, the humility, the love, the service. Can we just honor the pastors of this house? Incredible, incredible pastors. And I want to celebrate my husband. You know, today is also his birthday. And he is my covering. I mean, he is just a gift of God in my life. And I am just so blessed by him. And so I just want us to celebrate him one more time. He does not like that. And just want to take a moment as well. You know, today's Sunday, and I just want to thank God also for my pastors in LA, Pastor Toure Roberts, Pastor Sarah Jakes Roberts, for even allowing me the time, right, to travel and just understanding the call of God in my life. And so I'm grateful for them. Happy Mother's Day. I wrote something I wanted to share down regarding Mother's Day before we go into the Word. And so, number one, happy Mother's Day to all the incredible women who embody the role of motherhood in its various forms. To those who are celebrating today with joy and laughter, may your hearts be filled with the warmth of family and the love of your children. To the mothers or children who are navigating the journey of grief, in your weakness, God is your strength. Grief is healthy. It is a mark of impact a person had on you. May you find comfort in the cherished moments. To single mothers, as you embark on this journey alone, God will multiply more grace. Grace that makes ease and grace that raises godly children. Your sacrifice and perseverance are a testament to the extraordinary power of a mother's love. To the stepmothers, to foster mothers, whose hearts have expanded to embrace and nurture, your role is vital and your love is transformative. Your dedication is appreciated and celebrated today. For the spiritual mothers, your wisdom and support shape lives with a profound impact, and we also honor you on this special day. To every mother, in all the unique ways you express love, sacrifice, and resilience, happy Mother's Day. Your presence is a gift, and your love is the heartbeat of countless stories. May today be filled with joy, appreciation, and the warmth of the love you've so generously shared. And so can we give it up for the mothers one more time? Amen. Amen. Before we get into the word, I was sitting and just listening to Pastor praying over the women, and there's something so heavy the Holy Spirit placed on my heart that I must do, and then we're going to get into the word. I saw this vision, and there's some covenants that needs to be broken. You know, sometimes, and this is a prayerful house. This is a house of God. And there's the topic of abortion that, you know, a lot of times people don't want to touch it, right? And I don't know how it is in the UK. In the US, you know, sometimes they'll say, my body, my choice, but it's not your body. it's not really your, you know, choice per se. There are times where there is a medical reason behind it. But for majority, it's there's selfishness behind it. Now, the interesting thing is whenever a woman, for whatever reason, young or whatever reason, whenever a woman, you know, commits abortion, spiritually, she comes into a covenant with death because she willingly did that. It was not like it was a medical reason, it was not to save. She came into an agreement to say, I'm giving this child away for my own personal interest. And in the spiritual realm, there's nothing that is empty, right? Everything is tangible. It's real. You can feel it. And what happens is there is a covenant with death that manifests in several ways. Sometimes it manifests in a person's life, even within a marriage. Sometimes it manifests where you just keep, it's almost like you always find yourself hitting a roadblock. Like it's this almost success syndrome that you're always close to breakthrough. And then when you get there, something snatches it away because the spiritual realm is legal, is a legalistic realm. There are some things that we can tie the hands of God to not do in our lives because there's something that needs to be dealt with that we gave access to. Sometimes the gestation period of what the enemy wants to do may not be in one generation, but it may be in the next generation. And I saw this vision, and I saw the people that the Lord was showing me, but it's not something that the Lord wants to highlight. So I just want everyone to stand in the room, and we are going to pray. I want you to know that in God there is no shame. There is no shame, but there is revelation, there is conviction, there is repentance. Shame cripples us. Shame is a tactic of the enemy to keep you small. But you see, when we step into the love of God, when we step into the fear of the Lord, we don't have anything to hide. Say, Lord, I made a mistake. Lord, I was focused on myself. I was focused on my own thing and X, Y, and Z. And I tapped into the frequency of the culture that says, my body, my choice. But the reality is, none of us would. We are all whatever the doctors want to say, oh, that doesn't matter. We all started there at some point in the womb, right? But I want that there needs to be that covenant of death needs to be broken. And I just want all of us to pray together, because like I said, this is not a situation where the Lord needs you to be singled out, no. And he wants you to know that there are people behind you, that the Lord is for you. But this deals with the heart. This deals with your choices. This deals with breaking off this covenant of death. And what is so beautiful in God is that when there is revelation, there is already the access to freedom. It's not like this complicated, you know, journey, right? So just for a few minutes, I want everyone in this house to just pray, just for 1 or 2 minutes. And as you pray, for those women who you know I'm speaking to you, then I just want you to confess with your mouth. And even there are things that you've noticed in your life, confess with your mouth, whether it's concerning you or you're breaking every covenant of death that has been passed down through generations. And so let us pray. I want you to just pray out loud. Pray for the sister next to you. Pray for the person who is going through an unknown bondage. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you are exposing even in this time. Because there are women that you have called to be set free. And there are men also involved in this. Because I'm seeing where there were men who sanctioned, who persuaded, who were invested in the women getting an abortion. But Lord, we thank you for freedom in this house right now. We thank you for deliverance in this house right now. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that every covenant of death that was entered unknowingly be broken now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, oh God, that where things have almost, I'm seeing where people have been bound and they did not even know what was operating behind it. But we thank you, Lord, that every principality and power that has been at work in their generation, that has been at work in their family, we loose you now in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you, Lord, because you reveal to redeem. You reveal to restore. Now, Lord, everything that has been kept from your children, from your sons and daughters, Lord God, we thank you that there is a restoration coming onto them right now. We thank you, Lord, that everything that has been taken, oh God, that may it be pressed down, running over. May it be released back into their lives with great abundance in the name of Jesus. We thank you, oh Heavenly Father. And even as you're showing me for the one who is contemplating abortion in this house, Lord, I thank you that right now you're speaking to her. You're speaking to her mind. You're speaking to her heart. That you are the one that you know you would give her the grace to run her race. But I thank you, Lord God, that you would prevent her from making that decision. And showing her that she has nothing to fear when she walks with you, when she surrenders to you. And so have your way, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen. Can we just give Jesus praise? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So while we're standing, let us read the word. John 2 from verse 1 to 5, and then I'll jump to verse 11. It says, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, and when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Then in verse 11, it says, the beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, that you would breathe through this word, that you would minister to the hearts and minds of your children through this word. Lord, take over the service as you have already begun to do so. And Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus. In all that we do, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Whew, I'm excited. I'm excited for what God wants to do in this house. You know, during the conference, and first of all, I mean, can we just celebrate God for the conference? Whether you were here or you weren't here, it was just incredible. But during the conference, I had shared how, you know, there was a time where, you know, before I met my husband and any of that, that I was in this place of seeking God about marriage, right? And I think maybe I just got tired of my mother hounding me. Because there was a time where in my early 20s, and she's like, when are you going to get married? I'm like, I'm not thinking about that, right? I have things to do. And then there's a time where you get bothered and you start thinking about it. And I remember when I was praying to the Lord and I was like, Lord, marriage, what does that look like? X, Y, and Z, show me, who's the person? And, you know, I'm sure there's some ladies in the room where you start asking the Lord, what is his name? I was like, Lord, there was social media. Can you give me his handle? At least let me see what he looks like, right? But foolishness. But I remember, you know, in prayer, and then the Lord bypassed everything I was saying. And then began to reveal how old I would be when I become a mother. And I was so confused at the time because I'm like, God, I'm asking about marriage and you're telling me when I would become a mother. And as I began to dig into why he's talking about that and not this, one, I understood that, okay, before this age, you're trying to tell me that I'll be married. But it was also because he was not so focused on the marriage itself, but what the assignment is connected to the marriage. And part of the assignment that in my life with motherhood. So he's like, Stephanie, I'm already gone ahead of you. This would be taken care of. Whatever you're thinking about it, I would take care of this. But what I want you to press into is not what I've already said yes to. It's not what is already underway. You see, many times a miracle, the workings of God, there are things happening behind the scenes. And just because you don't see it does not mean it's not happening. There's a way that God is orchestrating things so that you both, your paths will cross. He's like, I already got that figured out. But what I need you to be is ready when one of the things connected to your marriage happens. And that is in becoming a mother. And what the Lord began to minister to me, and by the way, I shared this with my mom, and that was literally the age I became a mother, right? But one of the things that the Lord began to minister to me was the responsibility of motherhood. That understand that one, first of all, as a woman, that women are gateways. And one of the profound expression of a woman as a gateway is in motherhood. Now, for the men in the room, you're gonna get a few things from this message, okay? Because the principles apply to all of us. And so when I say women at gateways, he started to show me that women, you see, in the beginning, that when the Lord created man, he created them male and female. Both have a representation of a dimension of God. There is something that the woman embodies that reveals the nature of God. There is something the man embodies that reveals the nature of God. And so women, as you see, a woman in the natural, even as it relates to motherhood, the understanding of a woman to conceive, that is why I loved how we prayed for women who are struggling with infertility, because it is your divine right. It is connected to who God made you to be. So when something is coming up against what is your right, then we war against it in prayer. It's not even God if you choose, if you desire. No, it is your right. God designed the woman to be fruitful in many ways, including that. And so women are gateways. And mothers are gateways. Even Jesus, for him to step into this realm, there was the need of a woman. That he had to come through the womb of a woman. That is why many times, you know, for women, you would have these dreams where you would see yourself pregnant. And it has nothing to do with even having a child. But it is the spiritual representation when there is something that God wants to bring forth through your life. That there is a business, there's an idea, there's a vision, there is something, there is an expansion. And so you start to see yourself. How many people have had those dreams where you see yourself pregnant and you're like, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? And it has nothing, sometimes it's about kids, but sometimes it has nothing to do with children. But it represents that the woman, she's the marker of an entry point. So even when we go all the way to Genesis, when we see the enemy coming to talk to Eve, to tempt her, you know, many times people don't read the Bible all the way through because they forget that Adam was right there. He was right next to her. So why is it that the enemy chose Eve? Spiritual intelligence. It's not that she was weak. He was right there. If it was about Eve just being a weak person, then he would have waited to isolate her. Where there's no one that can speak wisdom into her, then okay, I could get the weaker one. No, Adam was right next to her. He goes to the person that represents a gateway. If I'm going to access them, I can only access them if I first get her permission. That's why praying women are powerful. Praying mothers are powerful. Because it's like, oh, Satan, you cannot even come close. Because I have an understanding of my position in this. Because I don't want to go too much into the role of a man. Because, I mean, men, they get it. They get it strong with the Lord. Have you noticed that in the Bible, when God is judging a house, he's not even talking about the woman. He would judge the man, right? So the man represents the priest, but there is a certain type of covering a woman brings into a home. That when she identifies her role as a gateway, then she is more intentional about the things that God has entrusted into her care. So while we look at this scripture, when we see Mary and Jesus, and what I love so much about this scripture is because it represents that not only do you see mothers as physically, you know, being the bearers of life, but you see them as being spiritual stewards of destinies, gateways. That there are things that before they were activated in the world, you will see God put women at the forefront of it. It was never random. It was always intentional. When the women went to the tomb looking for Jesus, the angels tell them, you know what, go and let them know. He is risen. He is not here. Then Jesus appears to the women first. Not even before he goes to the disciples, because there is a spiritual understanding of what the woman represents. And so you see in the life of Jesus, Jesus is growing up as a, you know, Mary's boy, Joseph's boy. But then it comes time for his ministry. And he is at a wedding. His mother is there. His disciples are there. And they run out of wine. And when they run out of wine, Mary just says, hey, Jesus, there is no wine. And she's not telling her son this in the context of gossip, right? Like, Jesus, let me tell you, they ran out of wine. She's telling her son this with the understanding of who he is. I know you can fix this problem. And this is fascinating because this is the first time that we see Mary calling out Jesus to problem solve. The whole time she's looking at him like, you know, my baby boy. But there is something instinctively that shifts. Like it is time for him to step into something outside of what we have seen. This was the beginning of signs that the Lord did. So it's not that she was referencing from something he did in the past, but she was referencing from a knowledge she received in the beginning. And she says, Jesus, there is no wine. He tells the woman, he tells the mother, he says, woman, what is this about? It is not my time. And that when he says woman, he's not being disrespectful. But he's trying to tell her, look, there's a change in the dynamics of our relationship. When I was undercover, you could have me do things as your son. But right now, I submit to a different authority. So I'm not going to do this thing because we have a mother-son relationship. Because now I've stepped into the understanding that I am actually your creator. So I can't call you mother when you're making this request and demand from me, because he says my hour has not come. Woman, like you can't play me like this. And here is the thing with Jesus that is so fascinating, because the Lord Jesus will say things like, I only do what I see my Father do. So what shifted from woman, my hour has not come? Mary is unbothered. I mean, she is the definition of unbothered. She responds and just tells the servant, whatever he tells you to do, do it. She's not even paying attention to what he's saying. It's just like noise. It's like something mothers just do. Like, I don't even know what you just said, but let me tell you what you're about to do. Okay. And all of a sudden, we see the person who says, my hour has not come, to the very person who does the miracle that marks the beginning of signs. This was a huge deal. What changed? When we read about the pattern of Jesus and how he walked the earth, Jesus would always, before he did anything, you know that he consulted the Father. What intrigues me about this story is not just Jesus instructing the servants to turn water into wine. It is the fact that God, the Father, honored the request of Mary. That when Jesus retreated and is now seeking the Father to say, look, this, I don't think I'm supposed to do this. That he received a green light. No, actually, your time is now. What is fascinating is that you see that Mary in Jesus' life is not his mother so that we worship Mary. No, we don't worship Mary. Mary was a vessel. Mary was entrusted. Mary was a steward over not only bringing him forth, but she also had a role to play in activating the moment of him being revealed. So when Mary says, Jesus, there is no wine, and the servants, you're going to tell them what to do and they're going to do it, it was an activation language that God the Father honored. Now the Father did not honor it just to make Mary happy. He honored it because of the role and the function of a mother. That you, within you, unlocks destinies. That when you release your mouth, when your conviction aligns with what the words that you speak, heaven can back it up. That there is something unique about a woman who understands her role as a steward. How does this apply to all of us? One of the things that as I was praying that the Lord revealed to me to speak into this house, and the way I heard it was, watch your mouth. You see, when Jesus says, woman, what does this have to do with me? Mary could have had a smart mouth, or Mary could have just said, you know what, it's okay, you don't have to do anything. She could have spoken against the very thing that she desired in that moment. Against the very thing that instinctively something was, it was such a strong conviction that she spoke from that place. Mary could have spoken against the miracle happening and everybody will walk away. You see, words are powerful. How you speak into things are powerful. Because whatever God has given you to steward, your words have authority over it. Do you speak life or do you speak death? I love it how the pastor was talking about his mom. And how no matter what he did, his mother would say, oh no, it's the other people. The teachers don't get it. They don't understand your brilliance. Why I love that so much is because we don't realize that even, for example, for the Africans in the building, you know, sometimes you would see, maybe, you know, don't feel guilty if this was you. Your child does something and it's like, why are you so stupid? But do you know you're part of the problem in that moment? Because let me read something to you. Matthew 12:26. It says, but I say to you that for every idle word that men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. The word may seem reckless to you, but why would God judge you concerning it? Because words shape reality. The things that God has given you into your hands to steward, you have a power to bless or curse. You have the power to activate or destroy. And so many times you will see situations where when something is not happening the way you want it to, let's say, for example, your child, you speak against their destiny and you don't even know it. You think you're speaking out of frustration and anger, but what you have done is that you gave the enemy an open door. Oh, this child, nothing good would ever come from you. You said it. So when it continues to play out, why are you bothered? You see, a pastor friend of mine, there was an experience she shared with me that was so, it was just so fascinating. For many years, she struggled with infertility in marriage for many years. One day, while she was in service, one of her intercessors who had been in prayer, there was a play that was taking place in the service. And all of a sudden, during the play, because in the play it had to do with, you know, there was, it was a drama about infertility and different things. And one of the intercessors, the Lord opens her eyes and reveals to her that the pastor, when the pastor was a teenager, that the pastor spoke a word against her womb. And that word is what is still active till today. So she goes to the pastor, and the pastor is confused. She's like, I don't even know what you're... And they say, you know what, let us pray that the Lord will show this to you. As they prayed, the Lord gives her a vision. She sees herself sitting on the dining table, and she remembers the whole thing. She's sitting on the dining table. Her older brother at the time had, you know, all kinds, just kids running around. And they're shouting, and they're yelling, and she gets frustrated with their presence. That she said that she would never want this for her life. She's like, she would never want to have kids because she doesn't want kids disturbing her life. And she comes out of the vision. And right there, the Lord showed her, you use your own mouth to speak against your womb. In that moment, she repented. A few months after that, she got pregnant. Because what she was called to be entrusted over, she spoke against it. And it opens the door. It's not everything. There's sometimes that I'm like, God, if you could open the eyes of people to see what things look like in the spiritual realm, the things we do randomly, that it is not random at all. You see, as a believer, as a steward, whatever it is that God has given you, entrusted you with, whether it is your children, whether it is your business, whether it is a vision, whether it is an assignment, how do you speak concerning it? Because it may be an idle word to you, but it's not idle in the spirit. You have to know how to watch your mouth. You have to come into a covenant with your tongue. That when I want to release something, you know what, let me just be quiet. When out of frustration, I want to speak against my own children, let me be quiet. When out of frustration, I want to speak against the business, no, speak life. That is why when the Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong, God is not talking about denial. He's not saying deny that you are weak or be oblivious that you're weak. No, but it is the power of language. Because we actually boast in our weakness. Because God is our strength in weakness. But why is there always this language issue when it comes before the presence of God? Because if you're speaking about it from a place of cursing yourself, you open the door for the enemy. You have to watch your mouth. This is a message for mothers, and it's a message for everyone that has been given something to steward. I want to challenge you. And you will see the fruit of this in your life. If you become intentional, even if it's for 30 days, and whatever it is that God has put in your hands, and you don't see it in the way that God spoke it, speak the word of God concerning it, and only that. Speak life concerning it. That every morning in your prayer time, that child who is giving you such a hard, not even just a hard day, a headache, a constant, consistent one, you start speaking to them, no, kings don't act like that. Queens don't act like that. There's more out of you. You don't tell them that they're foolish. You don't tell them that they're stupid. You don't tell them that nothing good will come out of them, because unknown to you, you are actually allowing that to shape their reality. And the thing is that the Lord will judge us concerning this. You have a role to play in raising godly children. It doesn't just happen randomly. You have a role to play. Whether it's through your prayers, and prayer is powerful because that is the one thing you can send in your future. You can pray concerning your kids. You can pray concerning your grandkids. You can pray concerning your great-grandkids, and it would build an infrastructure for their life. No matter what it looks like, do you recognize the responsibility that comes with God making you a steward? Because everything that you have, you are not the owner over it. You are only a steward over it. And in the day of judgment, we would have to give an account of what we did with what he gave us. How did we speak over it? How did we raise it? Were we intentional with this? Can you imagine that God would judge Eli for how he raised his children? It was not even that God judged the prophet Eli. Study this when you get the chance. Because of Eli. He judged him because of his children. What active role are you playing over what God has put in your hands? And one of the emphases that the Lord showed me is with your words. You can't go from having a powerful prayer night, and then Monday morning, you go back to speaking negative. You're divided. You're what the Bible calls lukewarm. You're hot one day, you're cold the next. So the question is, where is your heart? Because there is power when your convictions and your heart align. So you can't just say like, oh my gosh, I'm praying concerning this. But then the moment you get aroused in anger, you curse it. Lukewarm. And if you will come into a covenant with your mouth, that Lord, I'm only going to release and speak forth life concerning the things that you have placed in my hands, then you will come into a deeper place of partnership with the Lord. See, the other thing that the Lord revealed to me to speak to you, there are some of you and you don't have the best relationship with your mothers. And this could also apply to your fathers. And sometimes we think that to honor our mother and father, like the Bible says, means that they are worthy of honor. Means that they modeled what we expected to receive. But the Bible reveals a mystery. It says, honor your mother and your father so that your days may be long. Why is that? Because if you dishonor the source that brought you into this world, you dishonor your own life. You curse your own life. Because that was the vehicle that was used to bring you into this world, in the natural realm. So for that alone, it deserves honor. Not because of anything they've done or the good or the bad or whatever. That alone deserves honor. And there is only so far you would go in life if you move with God and you're carrying dishonor towards your earthly parents. It would limit how God could use you. And as I was praying for you, that became so evident that there's some in this house and you need to forgive where you felt wronged or abused by your mothers or your fathers, because you are cutting down your own lifespan.
not just in the natural. You are cutting yourself away from what God wants to do with you from a spiritual perspective. It doesn't mean that God affirms wrong, no. But at the end of the day, you embody the nature of God, which is love. You see, sometimes forgiveness becomes a hard topic, but I'll share this with you quickly. When I was 8 months old, my father was murdered. As I grew older, I had an uncle who I loved dearly from my father's side. But in my teenage years, we discovered that that uncle was actually behind the assassination of my father. But when the Lord encountered me at 9 years old, I had a lot of anger. But when he encountered me, he began to teach me about love. He began to teach me about forgiveness. And something he said to me has changed my life, and I hold it in my heart till this day. And he says, "My daughter, no one will ever hurt you from a place of love or wholeness." And what I understood is that when a person does wrong towards me, it's less about me and more about their brokenness. That unfortunately, I'm a casualty to their brokenness. It doesn't make it right. It doesn't mean that we have to reconcile, because that takes two parts. But I don't have to carry the poison of what they did in my heart. That I can believe for you to encounter God and get to know what he knows about you. Because clearly you don't know who you really are to be functioning like this. When you become a mother, people always said this to me, "Stephanie, when you become a mom, you would realize that the things you fought your mom about was nothing." And I remember my mom telling me one day, she said, "Stephanie, I found a journal in the room, and you wrote," I've been journaling since I was a kid. She said, "I saw you write, 'I just want to run away now.'" And I'm like, "Mom, I cannot remember. I don't know what would make me say that." She's like, "Why would," I say, "I have no clue. Childhood." But you need to forgive. So I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. And I just want you to meet me at this altar quickly if I'm speaking to you. And for the first people, just rise to your feet. If you know that when I talked about making a covenant with your mouth, that you have been careless with your words, you have been careless with the things that you speak, whether it's over your children or over the very things that God has entrusted to you, then I want you to just come to this altar. Just run to the altar quickly, and we're going to pray. Thank you, Lord. 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 This is going to change your world. Because you see, the enemy only has power where you give him access. That's it. He doesn't cross boundaries unless you open the door. I remember when the Lord showed me something that it blew my mind. When you study the Bible about what happened before the flood, and it talks about how there were these angels, right, that slept with the women. And what that brought about was just a mess, you know. And then obviously the flood had to happen. But the Bible reveals to us that because of what those angels did, God judged them immediately and literally put them in hell. They're bound in chains. And as the Holy Spirit was showing me this, and I was like, "Wait, why are they in hell? Where is Satan?" If you could judge them, why haven't you judged him already? He said, because he hasn't crossed the boundary. Those angels crossed the boundary. They were not supposed to do that. And this revelation blew my mind, because I said, if Satan has not crossed the boundary, then his power only comes with us opening the door. That's why he's always looking for how he could get us to trip, so that it could open a door and he would say, "Oh, I have legal rights here."
I didn't just step in here on, you know, without permission. They gave me permission. He hasn't crossed the boundary. That's when I realized Satan is not, he's not powerful. He's just strategic. But when you come in recognizing his agenda and his tactics, then you become more precise in how you live your life. Your words. God will judge us for every idle word that we speak. And we just say things randomly. That's when I started even thinking, I was like, even certain songs, I can't just be, you know how you sing songs as though you're speaking it to yourself? And so then when I would say, I was like, oh, God forbid. You know, you come into a store, and I remember there was a song playing and talking about how, you know, they're alone and there's nobody to love them. And you grow up with these songs and you start singing it. I said, oh, no, God forbid. You have to be that diligent to not just use your words loosely. Some of you may have seen this this video that went viral. I'm not sure. But it was an African woman, and I just loved her for that. And she was, you know, she was trying to, like, go down the elevator. And she opens the elevator, and the man says, going down. She says, God forbid, I will never go down. And the man is confused. He said, where are you going? But to the ground floor. He said, so you're going down. She said, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. It was so hilarious, but I understood her. She understood something about the power of language. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you could just close your eyes, I see that the Holy Spirit wants to minister to your hearts, and we're going to pray. And just focus on the Lord right now. And even in your own heart, just say, Lord, what is it that you would reveal to me? Show me how I have been careless with my words. And make a personal commitment to be a guard over your mouth. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want to pray for another set of people. Just stay in this place of prayer for those at the altar. And maybe you're already here, but if you know that you need to forgive a parent and you've been holding on to bitterness and offense, it's robbing you of life. It's robbing you of what God wants to do through your life. If that is you, I want you to come to this altar quickly. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're not going to walk out of a Mother's Day still holding bitterness and anger towards our parents. It's hard to understand, but they did the best they knew to do. It doesn't make some things right, but it just reveals the state of where they were. And I want you to take these words personal in your life, that no one would hurt you from a place of wholeness or love. And so when you processed it as pain, as a betrayal, it didn't come from a place of wholeness, but a reflection of their own brokenness. And when you see it that way, you have compassion and not hate. Because for some of you, if your parents told you what they experienced from their parents, you would understand them better. It's just that they hide too many things. So it's impossible to try to figure them out, and you just feel like they hate you. Especially if you're the middle child for middle children. You know, middle children just, yeah. Middle children have it different, you know. I'm not a middle child, but I've seen a couple middle children. My brother, too, is a middle child that... He was just like, you know. But if God would only show you what they also experienced, the trauma that they went through, you would have compassion, not hate.
And there's still someone else that the Lord is after. And we have to do this quickly. The Lord is after you, and you are just like, no, you don't understand. They meant that thing. They did not. That's literally what you're saying to yourself. They meant what they did. And I'm telling you right now, they did not. And God wants to set you free. Run quickly, run quickly, run quickly, run quickly. God wants to set you free. This is a bondage. I see you. Run quickly, run quickly. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It is deception of the enemy to keep you bound to this thought. You see, biblically, there is, when the Bible talks a lot about warfare, you will see the connection between warfare and the mind. One of the enemy's greatest tactics is to camouflage his thoughts as yours. That you don't know who spoke or who is thinking that. Was it me? Or where did it come from? There are many things that you process in your mind that didn't come from you. Because God did not create you to be against yourself. See, he hides in the shadows. He hides in the darkness. And so if he can camouflage what he wants you to think as you are the one thinking it, he wins. And he can keep you in the dark. And you may feel like, no, they meant what they did. I'm telling you. They were just as bound as the enemy wants to keep you bound. And in the place of compassion, you begin to pray. God, you did not send me into this family by accident. Let me be the light that would even set my parents free. So let us pray. Thank you, Lord. And I know we recognize that even those watching that are not in this building from the other campus, that you are also answering this altar call. What I love about God is that he's not bound by space or time or location. That the same presence of God that is in this room, that the same presence of God is right where you are. It's not about a minister's presence. It is about the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. I don't know why the Holy Spirit will not release me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to pray in just a few moments. In just a few moments. There is a mother. There's a mother here, and you feel that's the call. Shame. You feel shame. You feel shame for the things that you did, the things that you said. And the truth is what you are experiencing is not shame, but conviction. Conviction leads to repentance. Shame keeps you as a victim. And it keeps you there. It doesn't bring change. It just keeps you in the darkness. And I'm saying this to that mother and anyone else in this room and to those in the other campus. If you are experiencing right now what you feel and how you're translating what you feel is shame, the Lord wants to break that off you. Because it's not shame that is the experience. It is the conviction of the Holy Spirit to show you, choose a different way. Come to the realization of where you were wrong so you can make a change. And if that is you, I want you to come down to this altar very quickly. Very quickly, very quickly, very quickly. The Lord will not release me until you do so. The Lord wants to set you free. The Lord wants to set you free. Come down to this altar very quickly. Holy Spirit, I pray that you cause like a fire within their bones. You cause a staring that they cannot shake off. You cause them to feel so uncomfortable where they're seated right now that they would know that it is you, Lord, who is after them. There are other people that would respond to this, but there is a woman that the Lord is after, and you are a mother. And it is shame that you are feeling over yourself right now. If that is you, we need to pray and we need to move on. And I'm telling you, as you're feeling that fire of the Lord, come down to this altar very, very quickly. Thank you, Lord. 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 We can pray. Thank you, Jesus. Can we celebrate God in this place? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. See, the Lord wants to set his people free. And one of the most powerful places to be set free is in the mind. You cannot let things keep you in the dark of your life. But let us pray, all eyes closed. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that even on this very day, Mother's Day, that as we are in this celebratory place, oh God, that there is healing taking place. There is healing taking place in the hearts and in the minds of your children. I thank you, Lord, that they would know that you see them. That nothing they have ever gone through has been wasted in your sight. But that just as Joseph said, that what the enemy meant for evil, you turned it for good. Lord, may that be the testimony of these ones. That what was meant for evil, you turned it for good. I thank you, Lord, that where there has been bitterness and anger, that Heavenly Father, you will turn that into a ministry. That the very people that were dealing with unforgiveness, Lord God, they will begin to declare about love and the righteousness of Christ. Lord, you're reminding me of the Lord's Prayer. And when you tell us that you should, that as we forgive those who are our debtors, that you forgive us our debts. May we realize, Lord God, that without you, we may be worse. That we are all marked by guilt and sin. But that, Lord, it is through you. It is through your love and through the encounters that we have with you, Lord God, that it causes us to transform into that which you've always known. So, Lord, I pray for everyone at this altar and for those who have been hurt, who have been wounded by parents or loved ones, that, Lord God, you would encounter those ones. That you would heal that brokenness. And I pray, Lord God, that if it caused brokenness in them, Lord God, place your hand over it. Heavenly Father, we thank you that for anyone experiencing shame, for the mother experiencing shame, for others experiencing shame, that, Lord, you would rebuke that lie, because it is not about shame, but it is about conviction. And so, Lord, have your way. We thank you for this day. We thank you for that which you're doing in our hearts and our minds. We thank you that we are walking out of here lighter than we came in. And we thank you, Lord, that you would expose every hidden thing that has caused any form of bondage in the lives of your children. You would expose and uproot it, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Can we just praise God in the house? Amen.